You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Mama's Talkin' Loud. Jess and I love bringing these stories to you, amplifying the journey of the working artist mom, supporting the struggle, and striving to change the social safety net. But we need your help. If you haven't already, we would so appreciate if you would follow, rate, and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. This is the way we can continue to raise awareness and change the narrative. And if you want more insight into our world, please follow us on Instagram at Mamas Talkin' Loud, on Twitter at Mamas Talkin' Pod, and on our website, www.mamastalkinloud.com.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to this mini-sode of Mamas Talkin' Loud. I'm Jessica Rush.
And I'm Kara Cooper. Today's guest was coming off her biggest year ever, making her Broadway debut in The Prom, getting married, and becoming pregnant when COVID-19 changed the world.
Never anticipating giving birth during a pandemic, she is navigating her role as a new mom in a new world and being super honest and open about the mental load of the motherhood journey while continuing to spread her sparkle along the way. Becca.
Hi, Becca.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I love your podcast. And you know that I tell you all the time.
I'm so excited that you're here. We've had to reschedule this so many times. So thank you for being so accommodating. But you know now, mom life, right? Things come up.
Yes. Unpredictable.
Completely
yes.
And totally unpredictable. A little backstory. I met Becca doing The Prom, which again feels like it feels like forever ago, and I know it wasn't, but so much life has happened because of COVID. And as you will see with your daughter, as they grow, they change so much within the span of the year. Time is very strange. It like stretches and compresses, yes. And you're like, what happened? I have adult people now. Anyway.
Yeah.
But during The Prom, you got married. And I asked the highly inappropriate question about whether or not you were thinking about having kids, which is terrible, uh-huh. And I should know better.
No,
feel like we had kind of formed a bond over that, and I talked about my kids a lot to you, and so I was so thrilled to see on Instagram that you were pregnant prior to COVID,
and then
you gave birth during COVID. So tell us about your baby girl, who is you guys?
Well,
she is. So cute.
She really
And she rocks the signature Becca Lee headband really well. So
she has to. No bow, no go. You know, that's what we say. But first I have to say, Kara, that it was so awesome for me to see you during prom doing Broadway with two kids, doing the commute to Jersey, because I also live in Jersey. And I really needed to see that. To be able to kind of know that I could do it too, you know, like I'd never really worked with, well, it was my first Broadway show, so I'd never seen it happening in person, and you made it look really effortless, even though I know it's not, but just thank you for being a huge inspiration because you made me know it was possible, and that was really important to me. So thank you.
I'm so happy to hear that. Tell us about that adorable baby girl.
Okay, so Haley just turned 9 months the other day. She is the cutest, the smiliest, the most happy baby ever, which is amazing. I wake up to get her in the morning and she's in there smiling so big and squealing with joy that she's awake for a whole new day. So I just hope she stays like that forever. She's really silly, very loud personality, just like my husband. She's my husband's twin, looks and personality, which is so funny. And she just brings me so much joy every day. I didn't know that a little baby could do that, but she does.
Oh, it's the sweetest. I mean, like seeing them in the morning when their face lights up when you walk in the room. I do miss that. Yeah. Now that they're older, it's like occasionally they'll be excited to see you when you've been somewhere or whatever. And I savor those moments when I come home and Elliot's like, Mom.
Yeah.
It's all very exciting.
A friend of mine said to me once, when you have a baby, it's kind of like Christmas every morning. I mean, you're totally exhausted, which you will learn as you get farther down this parenthood road. Like Christmas is the most exhausting day ever. Like any big holiday, not just Christmas, but like any day where you're like preparing all the magic for your kids, you're tired before the day even starts because you were up late the night before making sure all the magic happens.
Right.
But a friend of mine said, it's like walking in and it's like Christmas. It's like that little gift is there for you. And I just think it's a really, I don't know. I miss it. I miss those little baby days a lot.
Yeah, it does feel like that. It really does. Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what has been surprising to you, right? I mean, Kara was saying that, you know, you got pregnant, obviously, after the prom ended, but have you been surprised by anything in particular in motherhood? I mean, there's really no way to prepare, I think. I think that's what we try to get out to people is like, you think you know, and you don't know. You don't know.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I read all the books and all the things, listened to all the podcasts, and nothing can prepare you. But one thing that did stand out to me is something that I had heard on your podcast before was the mental load of a mother. And it kind of seemed to come on just overnight. You have a baby and suddenly you have this huge list of things in your head of everything that needs to be done and the tasks that need to be accomplished and this huge responsibility. Obviously, you know you're going to have a huge responsibility having a baby, but it just happens overnight and it's like, whoa, you know? And my husband is going through this experience with me, obviously, but it's completely different because he doesn't have that, you know? And it's not that he's a bad dad or a bad husband. I mean, he's an amazing husband, but I'm just the one keeping tabs on absolutely everything. And it's a lot to get used to and a lot to take on, you know? And just to know that that's now always going to be here, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head with that one. It never goes away.
It never goes away. And it's not like, you know, Kara and I talk about this a lot too. And like you said, we're really lucky to have awesome husbands and dad and who are fantastic dads, but their brains do not think the same way. They're not thinking ahead to the degree and they're like not even considering like, oh, when should the baby go to the doctor? When should I go to the doctor? I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I have to tell my husband when he needs to go to the doctor. Do you know what I mean? So like, they're not thinking about the day to day minutia, you know, who buys the toilet paper? You know, when the toilet paper runs out, they're like, wait, where's the toilet paper? And it's like, well, you could have gone to buy the toilet paper. Like, you know, if we're not thinking ahead. So I think that was when there's just the two of you, there's a little bit of that. But boy, having a baby just like ramps it up to the nth degree.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. I mean, we went to the beach when she was 2 months old. I remember it was our first little outing outdoors, you know, so we felt pretty OK with it. And on the way there, I was like, this is not enjoyable. In my mind, I'm like, she has to have the bottle in 1 hour. She has to be napping in an hour and a half. She needs to eat. You know, it's like all those things. My husband's driving along like, yeah, we're going to the beach. And I'm like, this sucks.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy. You're talking about like the mental load and all the things. The thing that kills me, and you're in the baby stage, so she's changing sizes so quickly, but you probably have like a pretty cute arsenal of clothes, right? And baby clothes, whatever, are easy to come by. But the thing for me is the seasons change, and I'm like, I don't have clothes that fit my kids because they've grown since last summer, and it's hot outside, and all my daughter's shorts are like Daisy Dukes, and their shoes don't fit. Yeah. And that's like where I go into a panic, and then Amazon gets all my money, and it's terrible because I'm like, I need clothes for my kids. But you'll see even more as you go further down this road. But something that I've loved about your persona on Instagram and how you've been talking about motherhood is how open you have been about some of the mental struggles of being a mom. And since it's Mental Health Awareness Month, we definitely want to talk about that. You went into it a little bit talking about when you stopped nursing and the hormonal shift that happened there and the anxiety that came up. And you talked about the fact that you're going to therapy and things like that. Can you talk a little bit more about the mental health load and how maybe how it's shifted as you've been a mom. I mean, you've talked about the mental load, but I mean your mental health, self-care that you're doing during this time.
Yeah, well, I want to start off saying that I've always had anxiety my whole life. And for some reason, when I was pregnant, I have never felt more calm in my life. It was wild. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, is this going to stay? And, you know, that was one of the things that I want to thank hormones for. Most of the other hormone things, like, no, thank you. But that was fantastic. And after I had her, I'm going to say 3 months after, I was still feeling pretty calm. And I was like, wow, maybe it is going to stay. But almost 3 months to the day postpartum, it came back. I mean, hardcore. Anxiety was like overwhelming. Not to mention, we moved during the pandemic when just Haley was
just
4 months
a few
old.
Life changes during the pandemic. Just
yeah. Yeah. And at that point, yeah, my anxiety was really bad. I would tell my husband, you know, I'm feeling really anxious today. I couldn't do anything to feel calm, like everything I tried. Not to mention, you don't have the time really to dedicate to what you would normally do. Like, I like to journal and take time to write my thoughts out and kind of get a clear head. I didn't have time for that. You know, like I wasn't sleeping. There was a 4 month sleep regression. It all became too much. I had no outlet. I wasn't talking to anyone. I'm in isolation with the pandemic. And I kept asking myself, is this postpartum or is it the pandemic? I mean, it was probably a combination of the two. Anyway, I ended up getting physically ill because I just was not doing anything about it. And the anxiety was building and building and building. But it was a blessing in disguise because it was like, listen, you have to do something about this now or else you're not going to be able to take care of anyone. You know, not Haley, not your husband, not your family, if you don't take care of yourself first. So that forced me to put myself first. And I started talking to a therapist. And just talking to someone was so helpful because I made sure that I talked to someone who was also a mom, which I found was important because at this point, I actually don't have a lot of good friends that have kids. And you can talk to your friends, but it's kind of good to talk to a mom who really gets it because the most important thing for me was I needed to feel validated in my feelings. I needed someone to say, it's actually normal to feel that way. It's normal to be going through what you're going through. And that alone made me feel so much better, as simple as it sounds. But just small little shifts like that that I've started doing since talking to a therapist have made all the difference. And like Kara, you mentioned that I had said that when I stopped breastfeeding at 6 months, I had a month or two where I felt a little depressed from the hormone shift once again, but then I started feeling so much better. For me, breastfeeding was kind of stressful. Being the only food source for my baby seemed like a lot. I mean, I was blessed to breastfeed. I'm thankful I was able to do that, but I felt even more tied to the house and even more confined for some reason, you know? Like, so when I stopped, I felt like I could take a breath of fresh air a little bit, and I started feeling better. Talking to the therapist, all those things combined, I was like, okay, now I'm on the road to be coming back to who I was before a little bit. So that was really helpful. I just want to, you know, say talking to someone, it seems like a daunting task to find someone and just get started. But once you do, it can make a huge positive difference. So that's why I like talking about it, because maybe it'll inspire someone else to do the same. It's just helpful, you know?
Absolutely. And you didn't have, because of when you had your baby, you didn't have the benefit of, you know, there are all these mommy and me classes where you go and you connect with other mothers who are at the same point in their motherhood journey as you are, you know? So the babies are all around the same age. And so you're kind of experiencing things around the same time. And there's so much value in connecting with other women who are becoming mothers for the first time and having this, like you said, that feeling of validation that you aren't alone in this. There's so much value in that. I completely understand that. And the other thing, when you talked about how when you were pregnant and your anxiety went away, I had the exact same experience. I won't.
Yeah.
Someone's at front door.
Sorry. Oh. Someone's at my front door. I will never forget. And this is, Jessica, you'll find this funny. We were, my husband and I and another girl who was in Jersey Boys, we were waiting to get on the ferry to go into Manhattan to our show. And we lived in Hoboken at the time, and it was SantaCon. So they're literally like drunk Santas everywhere, which is like a high anxiety situation for me in general. But we were so late. We weren't going to make half hour. We're like texting the stage manager. And I, cool as a cucumber, couldn't be bothered. I literally was like, whatever, we'll get there when we get there. Sarah was freaking out, like literally high stress. My husband was like mid. He doesn't usually get super stressed out. I was like, whatever, it's fine.
Kara, my watch just told me to breathe. I just got anxious listening to that.
Totally, like about that panic when you're not going to make it to the show.
Yeah.
I was totally fine. So, I mean, which is not really healthy, but I was very thankful for my pregnancy hormones that were just like, you know what? It's going to be okay. No one is hurt. Everybody is all right. Yeah. You're going to get there. So I had the same experience.
I'm trying to think back, and Kara, maybe you can help me remember. I had some anxiety. Like, I've always been a sort of, Kara has always tells me, don't look for, you know, it's like I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. She'll be like, Jessica, don't wait for the other shoe. Don't look for the
don't
other shoe.
Don't look for it. Don't look for it.
And that was before my pregnancy. I don't remember during how I was, but I, since having her, my anxiety has ramped up and has never lessened. Like, yeah.
Really?
And it got really bad about a year and a half after she was born. And I was super depressed, super anxious. And I had like this massive breakdown emotionally with my husband. This was right before she actually started kindergarten. So she would have been like 4 and a half. And that was when he was like, okay, it's time for like medication, you know? And once I got on that has helped. But I still, it's the funniest thing, because like with medication, I still have the anxiety and I still have the thoughts, but it's like they can't spiral to the degree they used to. But, you know, I became such a catastrophizer, you know, like it's like worst case scenario, anxiety. It was so intense. And I never felt that before her. And it, so it's been interesting to see like how motherhood can affect you and ramp certain things up. Do you know what I mean? It's a real struggle. And especially, you know, we have these little people that we're wanting to keep safe and we want to nurture and protect, and there, you know, our heart is walking around outside our body. And it's like,
so true.
Wait, I need you to just stay with me at all times.
I know. There are certain things, too, that I find. Certain things give me a lot of anxiety. Like, for instance, now baby-led weaning is a thing with feeding, where it's like basically you hand a baby an entire banana and you're like, oh, eat it. And it's like so wild to me. But like giving her solids, I mean, heart palpitations, terrified she was gonna choke, you know, things like that. Or even driving with her, you know, small things like that are like, it's a lot. It doesn't seem like it would be, but it really is.
Well, these are all new things too, you know. It's like all of a sudden now it's not just you in the car. And with the baby-led weaning, we did that with Elliot too, so there's the choking, you know what I mean? And it's like, and there are going to be things, yes, that happen, and you'll snap into like mom survival mode. But for the most part, most of the anxiety is coming from the fact that all of this is new. All of it is new to you.
Right.
Like, and you know, the second one, I'm sure Kara could tell us this, but like maybe it's less because to a certain degree, you know what to expect. And then third is less, and fourth, and God love you if you're going to have more than that. But like, you know,
oh man,
it gets easier subsequently, I would expect.
Yeah. I think that the workload is more with more children, obviously, but certainly the anxiety around how to be a mother was much less. I was much better at trusting my gut.
Right.
Being like, I know how to do this, you know?
Yeah.
I want to shift a little bit because I think what you've been talking about on your social media is so powerful, especially because, and you kind of hinted at this, you know, your followers are generally younger and maybe not at the baby making phase of their life, right?
Right.
And you've acknowledged it. You've said, you know, my content has really shifted. You know, it used to be like backstage antics and now it's babies and headbands, you know, and babbling and whatnot. And which I think is so great. But the thing that I think is so powerful is that you are sharing your journey with people who may eventually have this journey in such an open way, and they're getting to see it beforehand and getting to digest what that might be beforehand. It's something that Jess and I talk a lot about, you know, what to expect when you're expecting. They talk about all the things like what to expect to happen to your body. What do you expect, you know, your baby to be like, what the different, how they do at different ages, what the development is. No one talks about the mental load. No one talks about the anxiety. No one talks about how your identity shifts, which I know is something that you have gone through, obviously, you know, from Broadway yeah. performer to stay-at-home mom, essentially, during a pandemic, mm-hmm. not even able to audition. No one talks about how your relationship with your spouse or your partner is going to change and what you may feel guilty asking them to help you do just because you are the mom, you know, for no other reason than that. I think what you are doing is so great because you are showing these young people what that journey may look like and how it may be different than what they anticipated. I mean, all with an adorable smile on your face and very, very digestible content, I should say, you know, like in the form that's really Thank easy you. To take in. But have you had any kind of response from that? How is your interaction with your followers shifted in that way?
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. I always think about this because before I had a baby, I feel like there are some things you see online and it makes parenthood seem total doom and gloom and like this is going to be the hardest thing ever and that's it. Becoming a mom, I've kind of realized that the good goes without saying. You know, it's like being a parent's amazing and it's like everyone knows that. So I feel like that's why some people don't feel the need to also throw that in too. You know, they just want to be like, this can happen and this can happen. For me, sharing my experiences, it's been great because I do have some younger people and some new moms that are like, we feel the exact same way. And it goes back to what I was saying before, how good it feels to get that validation, to know you're not alone. Because I'm sharing these things sometimes feeling like I am alone. Like this might be a little weird that I feel this way, but I want to put it out there. It's just good to get it out sometimes, you know, to say, this is what I'm going through. This is how I'm handling it. And it makes me feel good that some people do respond and say, same thing for me. And it helps me to hear it too. It's kind of like a give and take in that way. There are those people that are like, where's the Broadway?
Well, I was going to say, you know, social media is a very real influence and part of our lives. You know, it's a necessary evil to a certain degree. I mean, to be honest, it's like the amount of time you have to sort of devote to it if you're truly mm-hmm. a person who's an influencer or a brand or something like that is it's like a full-time job, you know? I mean, there are people that actually mm-hmm. that is their job. So have you noticed, because your audience is younger and maybe not parents for the most part, have you noticed mm-hmm. Like a lack of engagement depending on the post? I mean, I know that I do just on my own thing, you know, or like if yes. I post something about Elliot, you know, sometimes people say, oh, this is awesome. And I'll get a few hundred likes on it. But meanwhile, I post like the cover of my Dear Evan Hansen script, you know, and it's like 800 likes. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, yes. it's clear yes. that that's a thing. But have you noticed, it's one of those things where when you're following a person on social media, obviously we curate it to a certain degree and it's not all realistic. And that is something mm-hmm. you're focusing on too, which is awesome to tell the truth, the good and the bad, because I think people, a lot of times they share the doom and gloom because it's like, we're commiserating together. You know, it's sort of like, it's sort of like people say, I can't wait for you to have a kid. And then you get to have the kid and then they're like, welcome to the dark. You know what I mean? It's like, exactly. It's like, we got you. It's like all a big joke. I like, ooh, we tricked her and now she's here at our misery too. And it's not miserable. It's like, you know, yes, there are hard parts, but also it's like Christmas morning, like we were talking about. So my point being that when you follow a person, you would like to think they're following you because they're interested in you, the complete person.
Yes.
And all that comes with that, and not just following for the Broadway content or not just following for the bits and the reels, but to actually invest in who you are as a person. Because I think, you know, that's a catch-22 of social media. It's like, yes, we're becoming more accessible. And in that mm-hmm. regard, it's great for when we have projects or like with putting out the word and the support to other members of our community. Mm-hmm. However, on the flip side is it can really affect your heart. I think it does for me sometimes when I see the things that people don't respond to. And it's hard to not mm-hmm. take it personally, right? Because these are sometimes the things that matter most to you, because it's your child or you know, your spouse or whatever. And so have you noticed that? Have you noticed to a degree, like the lack of engagement with regard to what you post?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I think this is a good point to bring up because it's something that I've struggled with too. It's why I have a love-hate relationship with Instagram, for instance. I like it. I think it's a great way to interact, to be creative if you want. But I had people tell me when the prom closed, well, now you're going to lose all your followers because they were just following you for the prom. And it's like, okay. And I'm sure some people are, but you're right. It's like we are whole people. And the pandemic has certainly brought that out. There were no shows to be doing and showcasing. So yeah, but there is an absolute difference when I'm posting myself, you know, covering a song from Mean Girls or, you know, thankfully I really like my social media people, my following. It's a group of good people for the most part. The ones that have stuck around, they seem to appreciate the baby stuff too, which is really nice. But I've definitely lost a lot of followers and totally understandable. You know, now I'm like, oh man, the baby's not taking naps today. People are like, oh, I could really care less about that. And I understand, but that is my life. My life revolves around a nap schedule now, guys, you know, and that's what it is for now. Maybe a year from now, I'll be doing a show again and you can see that again. But yeah, I mean, it is a mind trick because you see the followers drop. You see messages where people tell you, you need to post more theater stuff. And you're like, you got to stay true to yourself in those moments. And sometimes it's hard to do because it's like, do I want to please the quote unquote fans and followers or do I want to be true to myself? Yeah. And obviously the right answer is obvious, but it's hard sometimes, yeah. As silly as it sounds.
No, I don't think it's silly at all, especially for someone who's of the younger generation. You know, I think that it definitely, yeah, to a certain degree, it's such a part of, you know, you sort of your age range and demographic, like it's so important. And so I can imagine that it would be difficult to figure out like how you feel. And obviously, you know, obviously you're like, I'm going to show Haley also back up because my baby is adorable. Exactly. And if you can't, if your mood can't be lifted by this really cute 9-month-old with a bow on her head, then maybe you need to, you should reexamine some things. It's like just
no, but
to find the joy, you know, find the joy. It's like, maybe you're not a parent, but you know, maybe you hate kids. You know, I have friends who are like, I do not want kids. I hate them. But then, you know, but then they see a cute baby and it's like, oh, that's sweet. Babies
exactly.
And puppies.
So yeah, I'm glad you put it like that because I always come back to that. I'm like, do I think this is going to give joy to someone, spread joy, put a smile on someone's face? And if the answer is yes, I will post it. And that makes me feel good, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's right in line with your spread your sparkle challenge, which everybody needs to know about.
Kara.
I love it so much. Yes. Right. Just for our listeners, talk a little bit about it. I love that you do this, Becca.
Okay. So I don't remember how it first came up, but every December, basically every day for the month, I challenge everyone to do something nice for somebody else. Like, what can you do today to make someone else's day better is kind of like what the theme is. And so I have everyone do that and then tag spread your sparkle. And so they can show me what's going on. And we just try to spread as much kindness and joy as we can in December. You know, it's the holidays. It's like, some people don't like the holidays. It's kind of depressing for some. So we try to just spread as much joy as we can and come together. And it's really fun.
So I love
fun.
That.
I feel like it sums you up too. Like it's like you, thanks. It's just your personality, which is the best.
Yeah.
And oh, I'm thrilled to hear you say, you know, maybe in a year when I'm back in a show, because that was going to be a question I was going to ask is, you know, do you see yourself returning to the business? Is that somewhere you see yourself in the future?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because for a little bit, I was like, can I imagine leaving Haley and doing a show? You know, I mean, it's a lot of time. Obviously, the 8-show-a-week schedule is intense. I mean, I thought about you all the time when we were doing prom, Kara, because I was so tired all the time. And I'm like, Kara's waking up in the morning, teaching a fitness class, taking care of her two kids. I'm like, what is she doing? Like, you're not a human or something.
She's not.
But,
I'm tired all the time. We're all tired all the time. That's the secret.
Yeah. But I really realized I miss having that creative outlet. I miss being in a show. I miss performing. We all do right now, I know. But oh my gosh, if I had the opportunity, I would love it. And like I said, you have shown me that it's possible to do both. And so I know that I can. Aww. So I would love to if the opportunity comes up.
I love that. I you know, you said something I remember vividly, going to my put back in rehearsal after I had my first baby at Jersey Boys. And I came home and I because I had anxiety about going back. I mean, I knew I was going to go back, but my daughter had some really intense health issues right around 3 months. And so it was just like a really trying time. And I came home and I called my mom and I said, it was like a part of me was missing that I didn't even know was missing. And now it's back and I feel like myself again. And it,
that makes sense.
And you know, it was like all of a sudden I got this part of myself back that now could also exist with this new part of myself that was a mom. And I feel that way every time. I mean, I felt it when I went back to the prom because that was the first time I worked after having two kids. And I was like, oh yeah, this is who I am. Yeah. Okay. So
I'm sorry to cut you off. It gives me chills to hear you say that because it's like, I've said that over and over. I love being a mom. It's a joy to be a mom every day, but there is a part of me that I'm not getting to use that's missing a little bit. And I just know how good it would feel to be able to do that again. And again,
and you will.
Inspiring me, telling me it's going to happen. Will. So thank
it
you.
It will happen. It will. I know it.
Until then, I feel like we need to make hashtag spread your sparkle a year-round occurrence. I feel like anytime people feel like they want to spread some sparkle, they should just do it and tag it. And because that's especially in this time, it's been so hard. And I just think that finding joy, you know, it can be elusive some days right now still. And and there's never a bad time to hashtag spread your sparkle. So
exactly.
Thank you for joining us and spreading your sparkle today. We really appreciate it. We're so happy you could come and sit with us. You just like, I don't know, but I'm meeting her for the first time today, y'all. But your sparkle is like coming through the microphone. It's like, I can feel it. I can just feel your personality and your joy and lightness. And I really appreciate you sharing that with us. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you both for having me. I've been your number one fan since the start. You are both huge inspirations. You guys are the best. Thank you.
You're the best. And keep posting those baby pictures. Yes. I want more and more and more.
I will.
Never enough. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.